Today, Pastor Ray Bentley highlights the Lord's call to not only those who sin occasionally, but to those who live for sin.
Nobody is perfect. And that's why there's so much pain and suffering in the world. And let alone the less than perfection, there's people pursuing not only that which is imperfect, but that which is impure. And if God is light, if you turn your back on God and you start walking, where are you headed? To darkness.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The Lord wants to have fellowship, communion with us. But there's a problem. It's the problem of sin. And today, Pastor Ray shows us Paul's counsel to imperfect sinners like us. From 2 Timothy, we'll see how we can restore that bond of communion fellowship with God. Let's listen.
2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 19 through 26. In the house of communion is the title of the message. The house of God, made up of the people of God, and communion, the Greek word is koinonia. Everyone needs communion. Everyone needs connection. God did not make human beings to work alone. We just don't work and function right alone. We need people. But not just any people, we in particular that have and are part of the family of God need believers who are connected with their Father in heaven. So let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and lead and guide us into the truth. And knowing the truth, may we be set free as we have never been set free before. And we ask it all in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Now let me say something also that I've been sharing recently, and I'll remind you from time to time. I want to give you guys permission to respond a little bit as we go through a message. Because you guys are so nice, and you're so polite, and you're so quiet, and sometimes, you know, some amazing thing is being said, and so I want to give, it's okay. Now, I'm not talking about just going wild and nuts and yelling and screaming and drawing attention to yourself. Well, I have to throw a 15-yard penalty flag and drag you out. But if you do mumble, you know, if you find yourself muttering to yourself, like, right on, you know, or amen, you know, or preach it right, you know, whatever, at appropriate times, feel free. Okay, now, chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. He says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In this section, Paul is describing the church as the great house of God. Now, you know that God never desired, he never wanted to live in a building, per se. Yes, there was the tabernacle, What that was called in the Old Testament was a tent, but it was called the tent of meeting. It was just a place where God could meet with men. You say, well, what's the significance of that? In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we didn't need a place of meeting. We could see God always, and he was with us. It was only sin that kind of blinded us and separated us, and something is wrong, and something is missing, and we're, you know, all of humanity is striving to get that missing piece put back together. Well, God himself had a plan to put that together, and ultimately the piece that fits, he manifests through his Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But he doesn't force it on the world. The world, you know, can reject it or they can receive it. And to this day, God is watching and waiting and seeing how we will respond to the very expression and definition of his love, where Jesus died on the cross. So what the house of God is really made up, it's not buildings, but it's human beings. It's people that are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. The foundation of this house, Paul says in verse 19, is secure and safe. It has the seal of God in it. And seal, in the Bible, a seal is a mark of ownership and security. Now, from Earth's perspective, the church barely exists. They pay us little attention. We're on the periphery of their views of what's important and happening. Power, position, prestige, politics, you know, the rich and famous, they take the heyday, as it were, of attention, at least on the earth. But from heaven, as God looks down, what's important to him, what's powerful to him, what is meaningful and in the vast universe to him is the household of God, where daily such as should be saved are being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has the seal of God. God owns it. He owns it because he bought it, he purchased it, he paid for it with the life of his son. The Lord knows those who are his. God, by grace, has saved us. By grace, he has chosen us. And amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's God's part. Our part is important as well. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is an old, you know, word for sin. Sin came from a game of archery in England. It means missing the mark. It means anything less than perfection. Now, let me ask you this question. Remember, you are in church this morning, but I would just ask, can we have a moment of honesty and vulnerability? If you can honestly admit in church this morning that you yourself are not perfect, please raise your hand. Let me just see. Okay. I was going to say, if you are living and breathing and have a pulse, you better respond. Nobody is perfect. And that's why there's so much pain and suffering in the world. And let alone the less than perfection, there's people pursuing not only that which is imperfect, but that which is impure. And it makes sense that if God is love, the nearer that you are to him and in union with him and fellowship with him and koinonia with him, then the experience is love, because God is love, and joy, because the presence of God is joyful, and peace, because God is the great shalom and peace of heaven. And he wants his children to bear the same. If God is light, if you turn your back on God and you start walking, where are you headed? To darkness. If God is love and you turn your back on him, and where are you headed? To a place the opposite of love, extremely selfish. And we see the effects of that disease, selfishness, all the time. And it's the cause of all the pain and suffering and wars and murders and violence throughout the earth. That's why the cross was God's method of bringing redemption and salvation. So Paul is saying in the house of God, we want to run from, he's been telling Timothy, this young guy who was a pastor of a church 2,000 years ago, he's saying, teach your people to flee from those beliefs and teachings and doctrines that are false, that allow people to continue lifestyles that are self-destructive, and seek the Lord. Now, there's a reference perhaps here to Numbers, the book of Numbers, and a very exciting book. And there was a time when the children of Israel had left Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land, but it took them a while to get to the land of promise. So they are out there, and you know, as time goes on, finally a guy named Korah stands up and he says, hey, wait a second, who made Moses the leader of us? Why does everybody have to follow him? Why do we have to listen to him? Hey, I pray too. God speaks to me too. I have my own devotional life. And we've been out here, we don't have a very big variety of food, we got this manna, same thing every day, and I would like, and so there were people complaining and murmuring about Moses. So he, this guy named Korah, got enough people complaining and murmuring that he got courage and he stood up to Moses and said, hey, We don't want to go the way you say that we should go. And you go pray, talk to God, you come back and say, oh, God said this. Well, I say, no, we want to go a different way. We're tired of following you. And the people and I have decided, you know, and so he lays out his little plan. So Moses, it's interesting, the Bible tells us that Moses was the meekest man that walked the face of the earth. Did you know that? What's interesting about that little tidbit is Moses actually wrote that himself because he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. But he wasn't bragging, he was just being honest. He was saying, look, in fact, the story that he tells us, I didn't want to be the leader. The moment you are a leader, people are going to complain. They're going to murmur. They're going to, you know, and he was like, I had a little bit of, you know, leadership in Egypt. It didn't turn out well. I'm happy to be a shepherd. We're just animals. They don't complain. You know, sheep, I got my wife and kids. I'm content. Leave me alone. And God said, no, I've called you. He goes, look, I can't even talk very well. I'm not a great orator. I don't want the job. God said, you're the man. So he goes. So now here's this chorus. So Moses says, okay, look, you want to, I'm responsible. God told me to lead these people. There's men, women, and children, old and young, whole nation. We're traveling through. If we don't have miracles, we die. I don't know why God chose me. I'm paraphrasing. But he goes, look, okay, if Korah, let's decide the whole nation. Everybody that wants to follow Korah, new leadership, new vision, new way of doing things, stand over there with him. If you want to stand with me and believe that God called me, then stand with me. And he said, let's let this be the deal. If you live your life and you take off and you lead these people, you get to the promised land and you die of natural causes, well, then I guess you were right. He said, but if on the other hand, something should happen that's never happened before, like for instance, the earth would open up a big hole and swallow you and all the people that are standing with you, then maybe God would show that he's actually not as much with you as he is with me. So that's what he said to everybody. So they all divided up, and there was Korah and his guys, and Moses, you know, had most of the people standing with him. And then behold, the bottom drops out, the earth opens up, and all those people fall with him. And as soon as that is over, Moses goes, are there any more questions? No, okay, let's go. But now, the idea is, you know, and without going into that whole story, can you not agree with me? People go, wow, that's kind of harsh. But can you not agree with me? We have recent examples in my lifetime of some crazy, rebellious, manipulating guy with a robe or a, you know, even uses scripture or whatever, leads these people, takes them off, and destroys them. So God is harsh. He doesn't play nice with wolves when he's got sheep that are behind him. He takes the wolves on, and he's very serious about it. Now, Numbers 16, verse 26. Let's read this scripture out loud together. He warned the assembly, move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all their sins. Stay away from bad teaching and doctrine. And believe me, there's a myriad of New Age beliefs and teachings, syncretism, which mixes, it's like a little dash of this religion, a little dash of that, a little New Age, a little Christianity, a little bit of Jesus, and they mix it all together. It will not stay together, though. Now, within the household, Paul tells Timothy, there are vessels in a household that a master has. Vessels of honor, gold and silver, that he uses to drink and share with his guests and his friends. Then vessels of dishonor, clay, maybe made of wood, that you throw the trash out, you throw the garbage out with. What Paul is saying to Timothy is that if you be a faithful shepherd and teach faithfully God's will, God's word, God's way, the way of the path of life, you'll be like a choice vessel of gold or silver. If, however, Timothy, you buy into or get distracted and go away with these guys that can be very enticing and get pulled away into distractions, then you're going to be like an unuseful wood clay vessel and you will lose that specialness. He says, but Timothy, you are faithful to the word. Don't be distracted. Stay focused. And I don't know how many of you have ever How many of you have ever been, let's say, to England, to London, the Tower of London, and seen the crown jewels? Anybody ever seen that? Woo! Wow. I've seen that. I've also been in Russia and seen the jewels of their past kings and crowns and czars or whatever. Amazing. That's what he's talking about. For that shepherd that will faithfully deliver my word, God says you are like gold, you are like silver, and you are absolutely precious to me. Now let's focus on verse 22 for just a moment. He says again to this young man, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. As you see in your notes, I call verse 22, flee, follow, and make friends. Paul is encouraging Timothy and us, flee false teaching. Flee even that kind of a mixture of teaching. A lot of false teaching doesn't want to start totally from scratch, so they borrow a lot from the Bible or they borrow a lot from Scripture or Christianity, and then they mingle in whatever else they want to try to mingle into it. He says, stay away from that and avoid that. And flee youthful passions. Not only sexual lusts, as I mentioned here, that's one of them, but there are other youthful passions as well that can destroy a young person's life. Self-assertion, self-indulgence, selfish ambition. These are the temptations, and in particular, when you are young and feeling, you know, all of your oats, as it were, and you are strong, and you are smart, and you are young, and you are cute, and you want to, you know, lead and conquer, either in business or in relationships, and it's extremely damaging. Paul says to Timothy, don't be like them. The world is full of young, selfish, clever, cute, damaging people. Timothy, don't be like them. Don't follow them. Flee those kind of youthful passions. Now, on the positive side, Timothy is to follow after righteousness. You know what righteousness means? It means doing the right thing. And, you know, there is something about when somebody does something that is right, and you just, there's a sense of satisfaction. Now, that was the right thing to do in that situation. That was the right thing to say. That was the right reaction. That was the right way to respond. That was the right way to initiate whatever it may be. It just means it's right, and you sense it, you feel it. It's kind of like it just has that ring of truth within your soul. Follow passionately. Flee from that which is destructive. Follow after righteousness, faith, growing in faith, love, and growing in love, and peace. Those are the things to follow. Are you pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace? And may I also say this, that in pursuing those things, okay, listen, are you all watching? Listen, just dial in just for a second here. You cannot pursue those things alone. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. God made, they're him, that's his nature, his character to share with us, but they cannot be known, they cannot be even seen or felt or experienced alone. That's why the whole concept, which we don't even, you know, I know I'm a pastor, I've read and studied this for so long, I don't fully understand it, but the triune nature of God, even God, when it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. When you get into the actual Hebrew of it, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, but the word used for God is plural. Elohim is Hebrew, it's plural. The Lord our God is so big that he's greater than one, but he is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even in the essence of who God is, there's this relationship of three in one. So when God makes man in his own image, he makes a man and he makes a woman and they come together and they have a baby, you have a family, you have three. It's a small, again, trinity of relationships and friendships. That's what the church is to be. Is a fellowship of relationships and friends who are loving one another into the paths of righteousness, love, peace, and faith. Alone we are flawed, but in friendship, what is amazing is that even our flaws draw us together and make us strong. When you love somebody unconditionally, it doesn't matter what you learn of them or discover of them, you will be wounded by their weaknesses, but you will be moved to pray for them, to encourage them, to care for them, to keep them from even hurting themselves. Someone has said, indeed, a friendship without many shared failures will remain aloof and emotionally flat. I find that in the world, what a lot of people talk about their friends and hanging out with their friends, what they really have is a collection of acquaintances and familiarity, people that are familiar to them, and they have certain social activities, but they never really move to the heart depth level where somebody sees you totally, completely as you are with all your foibles and flaws and says, you know what, I know everything about you and I absolutely adore you and I love you. And you love me, and you lovingly work into one another's lives through prayer and through pursuing it together, love, faith, righteousness, and peace. Now, 2 Corinthians 2, 12, and 13 is an interesting little cross-reference here, but let's read this scripture out loud together. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. Wow. Look at that. To Paul, one friend was more important than a place that God had opened a door. The ministry is bursting at the seams. People are getting brought to the Lord. A move of God is happening. And yet Paul says, but when I realized that my brother Titus wasn't there, I said goodbye to them, and I went to Macedonia. And I really think that the Lord has spoken to me, and if you're here or you begin coming, you're gonna hear me referring to discipleship. Discipleship is not a program that you go through some classes and learn some information. It is a process of relationships and friendships building and pouring one life into the next. And it's an absolutely amazing and beautiful thing. Someone has said, friendship is what love looks like when you put it into practice. You like that? Friendship is what love looks like when you put it into practice.
Good biblical insight today from our studies in 2 Timothy with Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention In the House of Communion. It's available for just $7. And again, the title, In the House of Communion. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key, and there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what He's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of His return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that He has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.